I'm here with Wynne Grant, Professor of Politics at the University of Warwick, to talk about the News of the World phone hacking scandal. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
First of all, I was wondering what you think the political fallout will be for David Cameron.
Well, I think this is a difficult moment for David Cameron, and he has to try and manage this crisis as well as he can, which I think so far he has, certainly in his performance at the press conference this morning. Clearly, at the very least, there is a great deal of embarrassment relating to the fact that he hired Andy Coulson, and that Andy Coulson is now implicated in these events. And obviously the opposition will make something of the fact that he did that. I mean, what David Cameron said this morning was that when he hired him, he felt that the matters that the News of the World had been dealt with, you know, that someone had been sent to prison in relation to those matters, and that Andy Coulson deserved a second chance. And he said, quite frankly, that Andy Coulson is a friend of his, and, you know, he remains a friend, just as Rebecca Brooks is also a personal friend of the Prime Minister. But clearly the opposition will try and make capital out of that. I mean, I think what one has to bear in mind is that in circumstances like this, when there is some kind of crisis, David Cameron is very effective at playing the role of Prime Minister. That is to say, he comes across as very authoritative and in command of the situation, even if perhaps he wasn't in command of the situation. That is the impression he gives. And I think those were qualities that Tony Blair and Margaret Thatcher had. I think there are qualities that John Major and Gordon Brown lacked. And I think particularly a problem for Gordon Brown was that he tended to get too obsessed with details, whereas David Cameron is good at focusing on the big picture in these circumstances and trying to reassure people. And of course, what he's tried to reassure them by doing is to set up these two inquiries. One of the inquiries will be into the press, and that will be set up more or less right away. And David Cameron made it very clear that he thought, as most people do, that the system of self-regulation involving the Press Complaints Commission had failed, and that one needed to look at the regulation of the press, but obviously in a way which still protected their right to undertake investigative journalism, which, you know, has from time to time exposed various scandals which needed to be exposed. So that freedom of the press has to be protected, but at the same time, one needs a more effective system of regulation than we've had up to now with the Press Complaints Commission. The other inquiry that he's proposing to set up, and this will not be able to start work, full work right away because of all the legal implications, is an inquiry that will be headed by a judge. It will be able to take evidence from witnesses under oath, and this will investigate various ramifications of the phone hacking scandal. But there are legal constraints about what one can do there, because it's evident that there are going to be arrests and prosecutions in relation to this matter. And while those police inquiries and prosecutions are going on, there are limits to how much can be investigated in a judicial inquiry. But the purpose of this politically is to reassure people that he is taking action on this matter, that he does realise, as he's made very clear, that it's a very serious problem which requires firm and resolute action by the government. Now, clearly, Ed Miliband has come back and attacked him and said, you know, he should have apologised for hiring Andy Coulson. But I think the Prime Minister's taking a very firm line. He's going to stand by his decision to hire Andy Coulson.
And how do you think this will affect the relationship between politicians and the media in general?
Well, it's a very interesting sort of relationship, because they need each other, but also in general they don't like each other very much, and particularly some politicians have a bad relationship with the media. I mean, as David Cameron said this morning, one has to have a relationship with the media which might be interpreted as cosy, because any politician needs to get their message across, and the way they do that is by and large through the mass media, even though there are other mechanisms these days like YouTube and so on. The politicians are still very dependent on the media, both the print and broadcast media, for getting their message across. Equally, of course, journalists are very reliant on politicians for stories, and some, you know, politicians give them stories as a favour. So there is this mutually dependent relationship that you have between the media and journalists, and that is not going to go away. But of course, the framework within which that relationship is conducted may change over time, in the sense that you may get more effective regulation. The Press Complaints Commission really couldn't do anything about the phone hacking scandal, and it's clear that the matter was allowed to fester for some time without effective action. It's also possible, although we don't have evidence of that, that other newspapers have engaged in actions similar to those taken by the News of the World.
There's been some talk about how it's very important that politicians have certain media organisations on site. Do you think that will continue to be absolutely vital?
I think there's been concern about the dependence of politicians on News Corp and News International and their publications, which of course, you know, extend beyond the News of the World to The Sun and to The Times, and of course they also have a substantial interest in Sky B, which they're hoping to make a majority interest. So I think both Labour and Conservative politicians are being quite cautious about offending Rupert Murdoch and News Corporation. Remember that Tony Blair, before he became Prime Minister, went to an island off Australia to meet Murdoch and some of his executives to talk about his plans for government. And similarly, I think the Conservatives have been very anxious to maintain a good relationship with that organisation. But it's got, of course, not just that organisation. I mean, politicians are very concerned, for example, about what the Daily Mail says about issues, because the Daily Mail can have quite an influence on framing the political agenda. And for Conservative politicians, the Daily Telegraph is quite important, and the Daily Telegraph has taken quite a critical line towards the Cameron administration, which they think represents too soft a form of conservatism.
A side issue is the police's involvement in this phone hacking scandal. What do you think will change within that institution?
I think for a very long time there's been a very close relationship between the police, particularly the Metropolitan Police, and certain red-top journalists. I mean, it's well known that they meet each other in bars and cafes around Scotland Yard and exchange information. And clearly there's some mutual advantage in that. The police can get information that journalists have, and the journalists can get information that the police can't state in a press conference. So one wouldn't want to perhaps prohibit that kind of interaction altogether, because it might perform a valuable purpose. I think the problem is that it has been alleged that sums of money have changed hands, and in terms of the law, that represents a corrupt practice. If a police officer is given money in order to provide inside information on a particular story, which the journalists can then use to boost the circulation of their newspaper, that is clearly an illegal act, and it's something which would need to be investigated. And if the investigation found there was sufficient cause for prosecution, it would invariably lead to a prosecution. So I think that kind of practice of paying money has to stop. I mean, I think there will always necessarily be a relationship between the police and the media which can't be confined just to formal press conferences in which the police answer questions about a murder case or some other important inquiry.
Why not?
Because I think there are certain things which the police can say informally and privately to provide the background to a case which they cannot say publicly in a press conference for all sorts of legal reasons. And I think it is important to have these informal channels of communication. I mean, I know from my own work in the world of football, people will say things to me informally and privately, which I can use as background to stories, but which I can't quote directly. And if you stopped all those channels, I think you'd have a media which was much less interesting and informative.
Thanks ever so much for joining me today.
Thank you.